Welcome to The Power of Stories, a podcast by women, about women, and for women. Their voices and their stories. I am Sharon Catherine D'Agostino, a passionate advocate for the empowerment of women and girls everywhere, and the founder of SayItForward.org.
And I'm Yodit Kifle-Smith, a creative dedicated to making sure the voices and stories of women are heard. I have the privilege of working with Sharon on SayItForward.org to do just that. In this podcast, you will meet courageous women from around the world whose unique path to empowerment will leave you encouraged and inspired.
Today, we want to welcome Claire Scheck-Snyder, who is joining us from her home in Atlanta, Georgia. Claire worked as a producer at CNN for 17 years and founded her own company called Oh Baby Fitness in 2005 after the birth of her child and a serious case of postpartum depression. Oh Baby offers pregnancy and mom and baby exercise classes and also trains fitness and medical professionals worldwide. Welcome, Claire. We're so happy to have you.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Claire, thanks so much for joining us. We'd like to start with the conversation about postpartum depression because it is a topic that affects so many women globally and a topic that often women are not comfortable talking about. So would you tell us about your experience?
Absolutely. I'd love to talk about that because it was such a life-changing experience for me, and I was able to take that experience and really learn to help other women. When I was pregnant back in 2004, I was working at CNN and I was producing for Dr. Sanjay Gupta, the medical correspondent at CNN. And he very quickly learned that I knew nothing about being pregnant, having a baby in the USA, and being a mom, really. And then he was like, okay, the best way for you to learn about being a mom is to do stories on everything that's related to motherhood and pregnancy. And you ask the questions as a journalist so that you can find out what you need to know. That was his gift to me. It turned out to just be the best thing ever. So I chose to do stories on postpartum depression and breastfeeding and sleep training and how to lose weight after having a baby and multiples, because Soledad O'Brien, who is an anchor at CNN at the time, was pregnant with twins and we had the same due date. So Sanjay also made it very, you know, deft move that we would do these stories for Soledad, but they were really going to help me. So I went in, did a whole series of stories, and I went and interviewed the foremost expert on postpartum depression. And she answered all my questions and then said at the end of the interview, can I ask you some questions? And I was like, yeah, sure. And she said, how much do you like to sleep? And I was like, oh, I love to sleep. And she said, who does the bills in your family? And I said, and everything else. And I was like, oh, I handle all that stuff. You know, I'm a type A personality. I'm a producer. I like to make schedules and plan things out. And she said, you are at risk for postpartum depression because you're going to be sleep deprived and you're not going to be able to schedule that baby. And it's going to really throw you off. Logically, you don't think that's the case, but it really will. And this is a recipe for disaster. And it's something that you need to be aware of and you need to tell your family members about, and you need to make sure that you ask for help and all these things. And here's my book, she said, here's my card, call me, you know, if you need anything. And I was like, okay, thank you very much. And I left and was like, well, that's rude. You know, that's not going to happen to me. I'm learning all the things. I know everything now. And went off, wrote all my pieces, felt like an expert on all the things that I had interviewed the foremost professionals on, and felt ready to have my baby. And then had my baby. And sure enough, postpartum depression. And my child was colicky, wouldn't sleep for more than 30 to 45 minutes at a time, would wake up screaming. I got sleep deprived. I had told my parents that I didn't want any help. Oh, huge mistake. I wanted to bond with my baby. Don't ever, ever, ever do that. Accept all help. That is, you know, another reason that I fell into the pit. I was crying all the time and just didn't really want anything to do with my child. And that is, but a control freak and didn't want anybody else to touch the baby either. So that was just awful. And that went on for months. My neighbor finally came over and visited and saw me on the couch covered in baby puke. I mean, and I was covered in it too, and said, you need to get out. You need to take the baby to the pediatrician. You need to go to a new parent support group that I went to. I'm going to take you. And she took me and I went in, and there was led by a counselor, and there were moms and dads at that time, which was really unique. And one of the women in the group said, my doctor says that I have postpartum depression. I asked her what that was like. Now, mind you, I had interviewed the top expert, right? Written a piece for CNN. But when you have postpartum depression, you are just absolutely don't have a clue about anything. You are like you're at the bottom of a hole. And she said, I cried all the time. I couldn't sleep. And I just didn't really want anything to do with my baby. And I was like, ooh. And I heard her. And I called my husband after the group and said, do you think I have postpartum depression? And he was like, yes, yes, we've talked about it, you know? And I was like, we did? And so the next call was to my OBGYN. And she said, I totally thought you were putting on a front at your 6-week appointment, which I was really good at doing too. I could, you know, like get my act together to talk to people. But she said, I should have known that you were really not okay. So I got some Zoloft from her and took that. And then I also went to the pediatrician and they said, it's a long shot, but maybe your baby has got allergies to food, and let's try this hydrolyzed vegetable protein formula for $25 a can. One bottle of that, which was really stinky, and I was sure he wouldn't want it. Angel baby slept for like 3 hours or something. I was like, oh my God. And then the immense sense of guilt that I had let it go on for so long was crushing. And I wasn't sure if taking Zoloft would hurt the baby. And my doctor said, you know, that it's so important to have a healthy mom to have a healthy baby. The one other thing that was happening during that time of recovery was that the people I met in that new parents support group called me every day and asked me to go for a walk. Mm-hmm. And I did not want to go because I was, you know, and not well, but I went. And those walks and that exercise and the camaraderie and the friends I made saved my life. Mm. And so I called CNN and quit. Mm-hmm. And found out what I needed to do with my journalism, you know, expertise. I interviewed all sorts of people to find out how I could start a business. And I did just that.
One of the things I've learned in this first year of motherhood is, you know, whether it's mental, physical changes that you go through, one of the main things that I'm learning is the relational changes that you go through, and not just relationships with other people. You know, dynamics may change, but the relationship with yourself. So can you talk to us about the evolution of the relationship with yourself? Because I know for me, I found myself in the beginning kind of grieving what was, because, you know, life has changed and you can't just pick up and do whatever you want. But because I was also, you know, type A and like to get things done. And now I was just telling Sharon, we love security. We love consistency. And I no longer had that. Like everything is like, I think I can do this, but then the next day I can't do this because things every day was the same, but every day was so different. And so I was learning this new Yodit of how to like navigate through that. So what has that been like for you? How was that for you?
That type A personality was still pretty strong because I started a business when Sam was born in August of 2004, and we launched the business in May of 2005. So he wasn't even a year old. Wow. So I am a little nutso butso when it comes to that. But again, the people that I was in the new parent support group were actually very, very interested in helping create this business. So it was sort of like a community program, and it was wonderful. We all worked on things together. And what it made me do was learn to accept help, but it was from different people. Instead of my family, you know, my parents, it was creating that community and that village. But moms and dads in that group would trade off like, okay, we'll take 3 kids today. Two parents will take 3 or 4 kids, and everybody else go out and do your shopping or whatever you need to do. And then there was one person in the group that was just really like, we need to get our kids signed up for daycare. We were all stay-at-home parents at that point, and the dads were too. And I remember walking in the snow in Atlanta. It never snows here, but it was snowing. And we all walked up to a childhood cooperative daycare. And my kid was like 2 months old, you know, and I was like, or I don't know, 4 or 5 months old. And I was like, I can't imagine that I'm going to be able to give my child away. When March or April came along, I was like the first in line, take my child for 3 like, here. I am so ready for you to have my, and they can stay longer if I bring lunch. Okay, great. You know, it was so funny. I would never have considered that as an option, you know, if I hadn't had somebody else saying, well, I'm going to go do this. You should come. You have to be around other people to learn this stuff. You can't do it by yourself. So that was a really big thing for me, to create my community of other parents that could help teach me what to do next.
Claire, you have so many roles in your life, as so many women do, and you have talked about asking for help. This is a theme that Yodita and I hear from a lot of women from all over the world. This is hard because that's often not how we're raised. We're raised to do it ourselves. So when you think about the various aspects of your life, I wonder how you actually learned to ask for help.
I was diagnosed with breast cancer, and it was stage 2. And I was running half marathons at that point and probably in the best shape of my life, but was throwing myself on the ground doing burpees, and I hurt all over all the time. So I didn't feel the lump in my breast. My gynecologist didn't feel it either. And I went for my mammogram. I was over 40 at the time. I went and saw the mammogram, and they asked me to go for a 3D mammogram. And I went in and saw that. And I was like, is that my breast? You know, is that my tumor? And they were like, yes, yes, somebody will speak with you. But it was huge. And I was like, oh my God. And then when I went into the room with the radiologist, she kept saying that the doctor would be with me in a moment. Sweetie, 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 sweetie. And I was like, I wonder how many sweeties equal stage 4 cancer, you know? I found that I needed to have a mastectomy. And I chose to do a mastectomy that reconstructed my breast with my belly fat. It's called a deep flap, DIEP flap surgery. And so my breasts are au naturel. They're all me. Only negative is that every time I gain weight, my boobs get bigger. So I have the biggest boobs I've ever had. It was sort of a new kind of surgery at that point, but a bruiser surgery because you have a tummy tuck as well as a mastectomy. So I was really laid up. I let everybody in my community know that I had breast cancer and that it was found during a mammogram, and that I wouldn't have found it if I hadn't had that, and that it was my job to cut it out. If I didn't cut it out and deal with it, it would kill me. So it was very important for me to take care of it. And I was glad to have known about it, because if I hadn't found out about it, it would have done me in as well. One of the vice presidents from CNN came over and she said, I'm bringing you food. And I was like, I really don't want food. I'm fine. You know, I don't need it. And she's like, I'm bringing you food and you will accept it. And she said, you're going to have a lot of people want to bring you a lot of things. Mm. And you're going to accept it. And even if you throw my food away, you accept it. You're gracious. You let people feel like they've helped you. Mm. You spend time with them. And then you welcome the next person. And this is what you're going to do. Because she had been through a different kind of life-changing moment. And that was her advice to me. And she was the first person who came and saw me. And it changed my life. Mm. Because I accepted help from that point on. And people really stepped up. Mm. And it's awful to have cancer and tell people about it in person, to have somebody burst into tears. Mm-hmm. Like, and then you find yourself comforting them. I'm going to be okay. Really? I'm going to be okay. I'm going to have surgery and I'm going to be okay. You know? And then I just stopped telling people in person. I was like, forget it. So I had my surgery on Halloween, and then my parents and my sister, who's a nurse, came to live with us so that my husband could continue to work and my kid could continue to go to school. And then my parents went home on Thanksgiving. And then at my 6-week appointment in December, mid-December, I got a phone call from my mom saying that she had had an episode and that she was in an ambulance on the way to the hospital in Asheville, North Carolina. Mm. And she was like, I know you have your 6-week appointment today, so don't come up. I know you're really ready to get back to exercise and things like that. So go to that. And then if you could come up here, I'd really appreciate it. And I was like, Oh my God. So zoomed up there, and she had multiple tumors in her brain, and we didn't know what they were from or what the situation was. But as I was leaving the house, I told my husband, I'm headed, to North Carolina. I don't know when I'll be back. And you know what he did? He called everybody who had helped us and brought us meals, all of our close friends, and told them what was happening and asked for help. Mm-hmm. My husband is the biggest introvert ever. And I was like, ooh-wee. He saw the power of community and the power of asking for help. And he knew that our family was going to need help yet again.
And may we ask what happened with your mom?
My mom was diagnosed with glioblastoma on Christmas Eve. And she lived until Thanksgiving, right after Thanksgiving of the following year. She was an extraordinary woman who really had a very tight-knit community. She started so many things in Western North Carolina. She was the first female elected official in Western North Carolina in our town. She started a house for battered women, teen girls. She started the community table, which feeds the homeless in our community. And we had a celebration of life for her while she was alive.
Oh.
And people were able to come and see her and love on her. And it was really beautiful. And we had it at the community table where we feed all the people in the community who don't have enough.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yes, that she, you say that she was an incredible woman, and you are an incredible woman. So I know that she was and is incredibly proud of you.
One of the things that we like to ask all of our guests is a question about how we use our voice. And, in hearing your story, I know that one of the ways in which you've learned to use your voice is by simply asking for help, right? It can be as simple as that. So how can we all encourage other women and girls to confidently use their voice and claim their power?
When you're interested in something, or you believe in something, the most important thing we can do is show up. People just don't do it. If it's a meeting at work, or if it's a cause that you believe in, or you need to help a friend, the most important thing we need to do is show up and then listen. And then you might not even have to speak at the first meeting if you don't feel 100% comfortable. But at that second meeting that you show up at, speak up. speak up. Just say, you know, one thing, and just say that you can do something, because we can all do something, even if it's the littlest thing. And sometimes if you don't hesitate in speaking, or if you're, you know, feel confident in leading, sometimes the best thing you can do is to invite somebody else in. And then I think the other thing that a lot of people hesitate with is they might have lots of ideas and lots of plans, but they don't act. It's always been important to, if I didn't know what's next, I'd interview people to find out what's next. And then I'd act, I'd make a decision. And I think that a lot of people hesitate and don't act. You gotta make a move. You gotta do something. So show up and act. And just bring other people along.
Thank you for sharing your story. There's so much that I resonated with, especially as a new mom. Thank you for the way in which you use that time to do what you do. All the things that you learn in that season to do what you do now. So thank you for being with us. And to our listeners, thank you for making the time to listen to this episode of the Power of Stories podcast.
Claire, thank you so very much for talking with us today, for sharing your stories with such candor. We also send enormous thanks out to Lisa DeJavine, who introduced us to you and who is the editor and co-producer of the Power of Stories podcast. And I never wrap an episode without thanking Yodit, who is amazing and who always shows up for things that are important to her and certainly in our friendship. Thank you, Claire.
Thank you. Loved it. Thank you.
And to our listeners, we invite you to visit sayitforward.org. a place where you are welcome to share one or more stories about your unique path to empowerment. Or you can read the stories of other women and girls. This is Sharon Catherine D'Agostino
and Yodit Kifle-Smith signing off for now and hoping you'll join us for our next episode of the Power of Stories podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, we do hope you'll give us a review and recommend the Power of Stories to a friend. And lastly, we want to remind you of the power of your story.